Welcome to the Pilot Network Podcast. I'm Matt, co-host of the podcast, and we are joined today with an awesome guest. We're so incredibly honored to have Charlie Venema from checkedandset.net with us. Hey, Charlie, how's it going?
Good morning, Matt. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. I know we've been trying to do this for a super long time.
Hey, good things happen when you wait.
Yeah, I know, right? So I guess we'll just start off. What's your experience in aviation and where have you come from in terms of your career?
I've been an airline pilot for 28 years. I started on the ramp on my 21st birthday, parking airplanes, throwing bags, and cleaning toilets, and just was fortunate enough to be in the right place in the right time, and candidly to have right the met people that have helped me along my career, from going from working on the ramp to going to the right seat of a regional, left seat of a regional, right seat of a major U.S. airline to the left seat. And I've actually gone back to the right seat to have an opportunity to downbid to fly the 747 before she goes away. But I've been a career civilian guy. But it's given me a tremendous opportunity over the course of my career. I've been dialed in and plugged in with training opportunities. When I was at the regional airline, I started teaching as a CRM facilitator. And I taught new hire basic indoc, and I taught our CRM program there. And when I transitioned to mainline, I kept that same level of involvement going. So I've been doing stand-up classroom stuff for over 25 years. And then I transitioned into schoolhouse stuff. And I taught on the 73. I taught on the 757, 767, on the 787. And it gave me an opportunity to become the senior manager of human factors at my company. And ultimately to the role of senior manager of pilot hiring for my company. So that experience and those experiences have really been beneficial in shaping the services that we provide with Checked and Set.
Wow. So with all that experience, I guess you've seen pretty much everything there is to see with Part 121 world and commercial airlines and that. What's the most important thing that you think you've learned over that time?
Well, as far as applications go, or as far as just kind of career goes?
Well, just in general, career type stuff.
This is a crazy business in that opportunity provides itself and makes itself available in lots of different ways. And I think oftentimes guys will sit back and they'll wait for opportunity to come to them. And if they just go a little bit further and try and meet opportunity halfway, you're going to find that those guys are the ones that are wildly successful, whether it's getting a job, whether it's becoming successful at your job. And it's about building relationships. And I think that's one of the things that many guys miss and they don't grasp and they don't embrace is the opportunity to build a relationship. Whether it's with a recruiter, whether it's, and you can build a relationship on paper. It doesn't have to be in person. And that's what we're trying to help guys wrap their arms around.
That's one of the reasons, that is the reason why we started TPN in the first place. Initially people were wondering if it was a collection of gouge or tips and tricks, but really it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a network of pilots because we thought that the networking aspect and the being able to talk to other people going through the same process that you were and then what happens once you do get hired was so important.
And I think that's why it's been a natural fit for you and I and with Checked and Set and TPN is because we're like-minded. Our goal is to help somebody get across the goal line. And that's one of the things I love about TPN, and it's why I participate, is the entire objective of everybody in that group is to help the next guy get to that path. And it's a perfect fit for us.
How long have you been a TPN member?
I've been with TPN. I want to say you guys had only a couple of thousand members when I first found you.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere in the 3,000 range, and now we're over 16,000. So
yeah, it's crazy to watch it grow.
We see you post a lot and contribute, and we're so lucky to have the experience and the wisdom that you can kind of bring from your years in the industry, but if you were talking to just any TPN member at you know in the bar or a coffee shop or something like that, what's the biggest recommendation you have for them, regardless of their stage in their career?
Well, is to be the biggest advice is to be prepared, right?
Sure.
And you know, as pilots, we don't launch off on a flight without knowing what the weather is, without knowing what the flight time is. Do we have enough fuel to get to the destination and all the other variables that go into taking off and having a successful flight or a mission? But so many guys start this process towards the airlines with no idea of where they're going, no idea of how long it's going to take, and no idea of what to bring with them along the way. So what TPN has become a vehicle for, and I reference our clients, I encourage them to join TPN because they can get great insight from other people that have gone that way. But it's that level of preparedness, right? What can I expect? I have no idea. I'm in foreign territory, right? I'm going to this career fair, or I'm going to this interview, or I'm preparing my documents, and I think they look pretty squared away, but I have no idea if I'm on track or not. And so the preparedness level and starting early, when people will engage with us and say, "Hey, Charlie, I have an interview scheduled with airline ABC. Can you take a look at my application?" That's the wrong time to look at the app,
Right.
and have the discussion on things that may or may not be correct or incorrect. And similarly, you know, starting to think about when you're going to prepare for the interview after you get the interview, right? And you know from your own personal experience, there's so much preparation, and your head is just turning and churning, and you're thinking about what am I going to say, what am I not going to say. And how am I going to present myself when I finally make it there? So it's that level of preparedness. If you start it early, and then you can take it in bite-sized pieces, and then it doesn't become this overwhelming task. Because oftentimes, and I'll see it with our clients, you can tell when somebody sends you paperwork and they've been completely overwhelmed because the paperwork just becomes really thin, really sketchy, really Spartan because they're overwhelmed and they just quit trying. And that's the presentation they're making to the airline of their choice is I quit trying, and we don't want to be there, right? Back it up, start early, go slow, and be impactful with what it is that you're doing. And so that's true on any level. You know, if you get a guy that's starting out and he's got his private pilot license and he's working on things, where does he want to go? How does he want to get there? And to realize that all of the things that he's doing now matter. Right, whether it's the GPA in college, whether it's the ratings, or whether it's, you know, training failures, or all of the other things that lead up to ultimate decisions, all that stuff makes a difference. So it's, you know, the transition from the military is daunting.
Right.
Probably 80% of our clients, Matt, are military guys, which I never saw coming when I started Checked and Set. I thought, well, I'm a civilian. I have a civilian background. Certainly, the appeal to our business will be with civilian pilots at the regional level. And what we found is we've been so helpful for our military clients that we've entered the bro network, and guys are passing the gouch, right? Hey, we talked to Charlie at Checked and Set. We talked to any one of the other counselors at Checked and Set. We got good intel and good feedback, and so our business has blossomed in that particular avenue.
Sure. Well, I know, especially from the military perspective, is you spend so much time training and preparing and getting good at multiple mission sets that are relatively complicated. You just don't know what you don't know, to
Right.
use a cliche. There's such a learning process of what aviation is outside of that bubble, and without a guide to help you through that, it's pretty challenging and a steep learning curve, I would say.
And the same thing's true on the civilian side of the house, too. I worked with a guy just last week, regional guy for 18 years, right? 12,000 hours of flight time. And the app was really, really thin because he figures, well, what more do you need to know? Well, no, there's a lot more that the airline needs to know. So we're that guide, right? And I think that's a great analogy for that because you don't know what you don't know. And it is, as you mentioned, a bit cliche, but it is spot on true.
Right. Well, a little while ago, you wrote an article for TPNQ about job fairs and how to prepare, how to put your best foot forward. And we've had some discussions with a couple other guests on the show and article writers about how to prepare for those things. But what's, from your perspective, is a job fair the same as an interview? If it's different or the same, what should someone be doing to prepare for some of those?
Okay, loaded question, but a good one. So, as you know, and many of the folks on TPN know, the job fair environment is going to change, and it's already changing. And what I mean by that is traditionally, United American, Delta, FedEx, UPS, and others, Southwest, have attended three major conferences every year. NGPA in January, Women in Aviation in March, and OBAP in August. There's a shift, and the airlines have announced that they are no longer going to be attending those conferences in a recruiting role. They'll still attend and support the organizations for sure, but they won't be arriving to talk to candidates. At those big conferences, Matt, when I was running the program for my company, we would meet with 1,200 to 1,300 people over the course of that conference. And Delta just announced their deal in October, and they've signed up 1,200 people, 600 a day, to come to Atlanta to the Museum of Flight and meet with the folks at Delta. So Delta's approach in Southwest is doing it, and United had a career fair last year in San Francisco on Veterans Day. Those, I think, are the format that you're going to see moving forward. So it's going to be very one airline tailored and one airline specific versus a shotgun blast at some of the bigger conferences.
And Southwest has had a couple of them that have essentially filled up in seconds.
And I think under 2 minutes for the Delta event, and Southwest less than that. The hard part for the airline in that position becomes, who are you talking to? So if you were fortunate enough to have fastest finger and clicked and were able to get a position at one of the events, you're one of 600 people that are attending, and you've got this tremendous opportunity because you don't know who the rest of your competition is, right? Is the guy that's standing next to you have similar qualifications, or is it just somebody that is happens to be attending an aviation university and clicked because they're interested in Delta downrange? We don't know. But what you have, and this is what I've emphasized in those articles, anytime you go to a career fair, what you have is opportunity. And so you've got this tremendous opportunity to make an impression when you meet somebody. And it comes back to building those relationships. So you've got 12 to 15 minutes, maybe a skosh longer, usually not less, if that airline is hosting a 1v1 environment. And the conversations are different than an interview. So an interview format, when you come in, is very formal, sit down. It's usually 2v1, 3v1, depending on the company. It is behavioral based by and large. Tell me about a time when, with the idea being that past behavior is a predictor or an indicator of future performance. And so that's why you all get historical questions. But when you go to a job fair and when you shake somebody's hand, these events, it's very casual, the conversation. It's structured and it's formal, but you're not going to get tell me about a time when questions. You're going to get the, hey, Matt, I'm Charlie. Tell me a little bit about yourself. And you're going to get the opportunity to tee up and start to engage me in conversation. And then you're going to go just like we're going, right? Where are we going to take the conversation? And a lot of that, by and large, depends on where, and I'll use you as an example in this particular discussion, on where you decide you want me to go. One of the tools that you'll use for that is your resume. So, you're going to spend hours toiling over a resume to make sure that it's just rocking. And you're going to give it to the recruiter, and the recruiter's going to spend 20 to 30 seconds tops looking at it. But they're going to pull some gems out of there. And they're going to pull gems out to invite you in conversation. And so if you're ready to engage, if you're ready to begin to build that relationship, good things can come. They don't always come, right? It's not a guarantee of an interview. It's not a trip to the front of the line, but it's an opportunity to begin to build that relationship with a company.
Do you think an individual has the chance of standing out in a recruiter's mind at one of those events, or are there just is it so many people and so many faces wearing a dark suit and a red tie that it all kind of blends into one? Or what's
No, they absolutely have an opportunity to stand out.
sure.
So some people will try and stand out visually. They'll have the bow tie, or a bright colored clothing or a hat. And most people will try and stand out when they engage in a conversation, right? But you only stand out if you engage in conversation, if you understand how it works, and if you're any good at it,
Right.
right? And so that's a little bit of prep going into that is helpful because you can kind of, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? Where do I want this conversation to go? Yes, definitely possible to stand out.
So, as someone who has been on the other side of the table figuratively, from the airline perspective, in a whether it's a meet and greet, a job fair, an interview type scenario, what's the first thing that strikes you about an individual? Are there any trends there? Is it a handshake? Is there anything that stands out over time for you?
Great question. And when we used to go to the career fairs, when I would lead team at the career fairs, my team would ask me that, Charlie, what are we looking for? And I would always describe it in our briefings as it. And it is very nonspecific. And it is very difficult to define with words. But it is one of those things that you know it when you see it. And when you find it. And so, but a lot of that comes down to presentation. And it's not the color of the tie or the color of the suit or the haircut or do you have a mustache or not have a mustache. A lot of it is about and it starts with how you present yourself, right? And I don't, some of that by and large is on paper, but the rest of it is in the conversation. When we're talking, is there tone? Is there inflection? Is there passion in your voice in what you're talking about? Or are you just kind of, to use a phrase, flat Stanley, right? Where there's no, oh yeah, I'm a pilot. Okay, good. Well, where do you fly? I fly for regional airline ABC. What do you do? I'm a captain. Okay, well, I guess it's going to be a long 12 minutes, right? A really long 12 minutes. But if you get somebody, and this really is, it's innate. It's very hard to train passion and enthusiasm. It's hard to train an attitude that's an infectious one, that is a positive infectious one. So it becomes quite easy to pick them out when you find them for people that have those characteristics. And by and large, you can tell from the handshake. And I don't mean literally shaking the hand and what the handshake is like, but people will have an aura, they will have a vibe about them that can be read. And we would get pretty good at picking up on those vibes.
Yeah, I'm always interested about broad trends. If you're an applicant yourself, it's hard to compare yourself to other people
Oh, sure.
objectively, but from the other side, I think you see variations on a very similar skill set over time, and I think trends probably develop and float to the top, and you develop a sixth sense, as it were.
Yes. But a lot of, when you're there and you're the applicant and everybody is similarly qualified, I think it's important to think about what makes you a little bit different. One thing that every applicant to any airline has in common is we all know that when you pull back, houses get smaller. When we push forward, houses get bigger again. So if everybody has that skill set, how do you determine and differentiate and decide who you want to be on your team for the long haul?
Sure, that makes
And so
sense.
it gets into those intrinsic little bits of what you're doing to make a difference, right? What do you do? How do you do it? And how is it impactful? Do you think it's impactful, or are you just a pilot, right? And that's probably, let me tell you a quick story about that. So when I was the manager of human factors, I had a guy that worked for me that was not a pilot. And he was one of our ground instructors. And he would always refer to himself as just a. I'm just a ground instructor. I'm just a guy that whose office is downstairs. And he, just in the way that he referred about himself, was incredibly self-defeating, because he didn't realize or wasn't allowing himself to see the incredible talents that he had. And so one of the challenges that I had as a manager was to harness his abilities and his capabilities, which were phenomenal, but I had to break him out of that just a ground instructor area. And when guys approach these things, oh, I'm just a pilot. Well, no, you really aren't, right? There's a lot more that goes into what you do than being just a pilot.
And everyone's got things that they can get passionate about. Even if they have a relatively introverted personality, we see this come out all the time on TPN. There are things that all of us have as hobbies and additional duties or side gigs or what have you that we get excited about. And I think sometimes that dovetails in with flying and being a pilot, and sometimes it's completely different from that as well.
And, you know, one of the stories that I wrote anecdotally in one of the articles for TPN, but it's so true. I met a guy, we're at a meet and greet. It's a really flat experience, just dead, right? And by chance, I asked him, just to try and change the conversation and the topic, I said, so, you know, what do you do besides fly airplanes? And he says, well, I just rebuilt and restored a car. And I says, oh, well, do you have any pictures of it? He says, yeah. So he pulls out his phone. He starts showing me pictures of this car that he rebuilt. It turns out that it's the car that he picked up his wife in for their very first date, right? Mm-hmm. And he's restored it to original. It's a frame-off restoration. And there was the passion, right? Yeah. And when we got him talking about that, he lit up. And I'm like, okay, the guy's in his comfort zone now. And he's engaging. He's dynamic. And he's talking about something that is extremely important to him, and I'm liking what I'm hearing. And I could sit next to that guy on a 14-hour trip to China. Right?
Right. Well, and there's no question that's a challenging and stressful environment. So finding that stride is always the key, right?
Yeah. And I think it's important for guys to realize that everything that you talk about doesn't have to be stick and rudder related when you get to one of those events, right?
So let's talk about checked and set specifically for a moment. Why did you start checked and set, and what do you guys specialize in?
So when I was the senior manager of pilot hiring, I saw, when I first took that position, none of the major airlines had been hiring for 5 years. Several companies had guys on furlough, and so there was this incredible supply of fantastic aviators. And I looked at literally thousands and thousands of applications. And so I had to come up with a methodology that said, all right, how am I going to sort through this incredible volume of documents? And so I started with the simple part. How do they look? And did you follow the instructions? Mm-hmm. And if you followed the instructions, we're well on our way to success. If they look clean and presentable, we're well on our way to success. If they don't, well, then that was an easy wheat from chaff sorter. So when I went to a different position in the airline, and I waited a while, got approval, set up my business, and I, with the intent of helping pilots present themselves on paper in the best possible way. So what Checked and Set does is our bread and butter is application reviews. Mm-hmm. So we work with clients on their app reviews on the Pilot Credentials platform and also on the Airline Apps platform. We help pilots understand, not happy always, sometimes, but not always happy to glad changes. In fact, most of our changes are not happy to glads.
Sure.
But how is the data used? Right? Why do I want to write about myself in this way? Why do I want to capture this data? Why is what I have okay, and why is this way perhaps even better? So we'll walk a client through that process. Oh, we also do resume reviews, and I also do job fair meet and greet prep to help people as they get ready for going to the events like we've been talking about, whether it's the resume being attached to the app or the resume being used in the conversation at a career fair or even in the interview, right? Mm-hmm. So we I tell people ask all the time, well, Charlie, what do you do? And I've kind of surmised it into what Chapman said does is we help your confidence. And if you know that your documents are as square as they can make them, it gives you an incredible amount of confidence when you get to that interview, when you go to that career fair, when you shake the hand of that recruiter, and when you sit and engage. You know, my objective is you get to that, the highlight of your life, and somebody says, hey, Charlie, your paperwork looks great. Let's talk about you. That's mission success for us, right?
Sure. That absolutely makes sense. What, in general, so not to give away the story, because I think it, a large part of what you do is interaction with each individual, and you go through their documents and you talk to them and give recommendations. But big picture, what's something that a pilot can do when he or she is preparing their resume, their application, and then planning to come and sit down with you? What's the, where should they focus their efforts in order to make their time with you the most productive?
So when we work with a client, what our expectation is that they're presenting us with 100% solution. There's just not enough time in an hour-long session to walk you through every step of the application as if you knew, had never opened it before. So the biggest piece of advice is to read the directions, Matt.
Right.
And I have built a business model based around the core belief that pilots don't read directions very well. And we've had quite success with Checked and Set. So guys, by and it's through, really through no fault of their own, the directions are available. Sometimes they're not always easy to see. Sometimes it's an interpretation of what it is the directions are saying. But boy, I got a lot of guys that just flat out don't read the directions at all, right? Hey, give us 10 years of residential history. I had a guy this week, 8 years. Okay, that's a week from chaff, right? You get a guy that says, I had two yesterday, expired medicals. Come on, that's low-hanging fruit, right? If the airline tells you in their hiring guide that you need to have a first-class medical to be eligible for employment, why would we present to the airline that we had anything other than a valid first-class medical? So it's connecting those dots and carrying those things through and carrying them forward. So what we do when we have a client that engages with us on an app review is when they book an appointment, we send them an email. Hey, these are the top five things that we've been spending a lot of time spinning our wheels on. Take a look at these things, edit them, send us the new version before we have our call so that we can make maximum use of the time together on the phone. Right. So we look at, you know, whether it's things that are missing in the education section. Delta likes to know where it is that you learn to fly. It's not intuitive as you go through. Their instructions say include professional flight training. Most guys don't. The instructions say include all of your schools to include high school, etc. Guys will leave high school off. So it's those types of things that we'll go through and ensure that the information's been presented correctly.
Sure. It makes sense. Just kind of another set of eyes and a little education on some of the nuances that go into that, I think is huge.
And that's an interesting thing that you just mentioned, Matt, with another set of eyes, because what'll happen and what I read a lot on TPN, and I try not to, I don't get on TPN to try to plug the business. Right. I get on TPN to try and shed light on things, to help put an interpretation on things. You know, I post with my name when I'm on there, and not everybody correlates the two.
Right.
But one of the things that I see a lot are just have your buds look at your app. That's not a bad place to start, right? And certainly it's cost effective because your buds aren't going to charge you anything.
Right.
But the problem with that is your buds know you. And so when they look at your document, a hole or a gap or a description of something that you've done may go completely by them. Because they know who you are and what you've done, and they've just assumed that you've left that off or included that, whichever way it is, on purpose.
Sure.
the advantage of working with a consulting company, whether it's ours or anyone else's, is that person doesn't know you from Adam, right? And so when I look at an app and I don't know the individual, I'm looking at the entire totality of this person's career. And if it makes sense to me, then it's going to make sense to the recruiter at the airline. If it doesn't make sense to me, then it's not going to make sense to the recruiter at the airline. And I tell people, we're writing your story, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we can understand what your story is on paper, then our mission is successful. If we can't, and we're head scratching, well, then we got to go back and fix that. So the having your buds look at it is fantastic for you, but you're getting what you're paid for on it on the free side.
Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate you talking with me today and being on the show. It's absolutely an honor to have someone with your experience in the industry and perspective to talk to the group. I think so many people are going to get so much out of this. I want to say from the TPM perspective, a quick thank you, because you've been a sponsor and contributor and overall supporter of TPN and what we're trying to build and bringing pilots together and paying it forward. And I think on behalf of Adam and myself, we just want to say thank you for that as well.
Well, it's a pleasure, Matt. And I'm, you know, one of the things that 14 years in the schoolhouse has done and over 20 years of teaching has done, what I get up in the morning, what makes me get up in the morning, is helping somebody turn a light bulb on. And so if we can work with people, and or when we do work with people, when the light bulb goes on, they're like, oh, I get it.
If someone wants to get in touch with you or sign up at Checked and Said or just ask some questions or just say thank you, how would they go about doing that?
The easiest way to get a hold of me is always via email. My email is just charlie@checkedandset.net. They can go to the website, checkedandset.net. I also offer a free consultation. So if you go and check the website and you click on the book now, you'll see a list of our services, and I do a free consultation. So if somebody wants to schedule an appointment with me to visit, I'm happy to do that. We talk about all kinds of things. We talk about skeletons and closets. We talk about career paths and choices. We talk about regionals. We talk about majors. We talk about everything. That's, you know, a service that I provide for nothing, because I'm passionate about this and I want to share that with folks. And if that conversation can help steer somebody, then it was a time well spent.
Well, thank you so much. We will definitely have you back on the show. Until then, thanks for listening to the Pilot Network podcast. We will see you next time.